We got parents with children. We got grandparents with grandchildren. What a better way to worship together, study God's word together, and just be together in church life. We encourage that here at Bethel, that church life needs to be a family affair. And we want this to continue. And as you've heard, this is going to be a plan for the months that carry a fifth Sunday. There's approximately four, I think in 2026 there's five, but pretty much four every year. And so we're going to try to make this a reoccurring event for church life and family participation together, Sunday school age and older ones of all ages. So we're looking forward to this continuing. Well, we've had a great introduction and skit of what God has been doing in teaching through the Sunday school this year. The study lessons have been great, and we've participated in some of them, and it's just amazing curriculum. And thank you, Marion, for all your hard work, Phil. It's great Bible teaching. This is what, when we talk about Bible literacy, this is where we need to start, the big picture of God's program from day one, so that this whole Bible that God's given us in His Word is put together in an intricate puzzle that has all these pieces that match up, and we see God's plan in full view. So we've learned a lot of things. We learned that God's promises are sure and they're solid, right? And that He's in control. That's amazing. We've learned that God is what He's like. God's faithful in His promises. He's great and He's worthy of worship. And He's good and He's holy and He's loving. And there's so many in this room that could verify that truth in their own lives. We've learned that God wants to live with His people and He wants to care for His people. We've learned that sin has separated us from God, and that was an unfortunate situation. It continues to happen in this world as man chooses and women choose and girls and boys choose to be independent of God. But we learned that God provides a way where we can be brought back into His family, that we can be brought back into a proper relationship. And He rescues us from the power of sin, and He does that in a plan that was from the beginning. It was God's original plan. And we're going to learn that it includes that plan of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who brings us hope for our sin. We learned that God promised His people a special land. We just learned about that. We learned that God's people were in slavery, and He took them out of this slavery by miraculous ways. And we learned that God's promises in His Word, the Bible, can be trusted all the time, without any fail. Well, today we're going to learn about miracles, and the story comes from Joshua chapter 6, and it's called The Fall of Jericho. Now, I have a lovely assistant. Where is she? Naomi Yule is going to be my lovely assistant, and I'm almost like, you're like Vanna White, and I forget the guy's name. He doesn't matter. You stand right over there, my dear, and we're not going to use you yet, but you're coming. So, we're going to read Joshua chapter 6, and there's some things that you need to participate in. Hopefully everybody's going to be on board with that. And we think we've got coordination between Naomi and I so that we can help you in this this response. But first, let's a quick review. Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abraham that He's going to have a special land, and He's going to be a special people, and He's going to be a blessing for all. And we learned that from the kids this morning. Years later, the nation of Israel are in captivity in Egypt, and things aren't going well for them. And He rescues them out of slavery using His servant Moses. You remember all the plagues that He put upon the land, and the final plague that allowed Pharaoh to see very clearly that God was in control and God was the one to listen to. He delivers the people out of Egypt miraculously. He protects them from Pharaoh's army. And He heads them towards this special land. We heard, and I'm repeating some of this, but that's okay. It's good for us to remember this timeline. That God's, the people disobeyed God, and because of that disobedience, they kind of went in circles for 40 years. And I don't know if any of you have been in the bush or hiking or trailing. Have you ever walked in circles? and you come back to the same spot you were, and then you do it again. And that's what the children of Israel did for 40 years because of their disobedience against God. And finally, as per God's decree, Moses dies, and his successor, Joshua, is ready to take over by God's plan to lead the children of Israel into this special promised land. Last week, we learned about Joshua crossing the Jordan River with all the children of Israel as they entered the land of Canaan. Can we say that word together? Canaan. Canaan is a special land. It's a special place that God planned for his children. And the actual geographic location is said back in Genesis chapter 12. Exactly where it's going to look like, where the parameters of the land is, what river compasses it, and what highland. God's promises are sure, and what he says can be trusted for sure. So you remember the memorial stones. I don't know if you talked about that last week, but it was so amazing. I just want to tell the story again. As they're going across Jordan, the priests step into the water and the dry land, and it becomes dry land. Isn't that amazing? The water's pushed up this way, and it's pushed up that way, and the priests go out into the middle with the Ark of the Covenant, and the people go through, and God asked Joshua to make sure that he picked 12 men or women, pick up some stones. I want 12 stones. I'm going to have a memorial for this crossing, and I want you to put this memorial up on the other side of the banks, and I want it to be something that you can recall to memory. I want you to know that when I say, when you look at these stones, you can remember what I said and what I did for you in the promise, bringing you into the promised land across Jordan. So today we're going to learn about another miracle, because that was a miracle in itself. But today we're going to have the miracle of the story of the fall of Jericho. So if you're listening carefully, what is a miracle? I need a couple of hands. Anybody, don't be shy. What is a miracle? Your own words. Yes, sir. Yeah, good, good. Anybody else? I don't know if you're going to get any better than that, but Paul?
I'm not going to get better than that. It's a supernatural event that can't be explained outside God.
Right on. I think that's a great, that's just, you and Ernie should get together. That's beautiful. The whole idea is that it's something that God does that can't be done by anybody else, so that you know God is all-powerful. The key passage for today's lesson, and this is good for all of us to write this down because this is a great verse, Psalm chapter 77 and verse 14. I'm sorry it's not up there, but we're going to say it together. But listen closely. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. Let's say that all together in segments. I'll say the first part, and then you repeat. Who is so great a God as our God?
Who is so great a God as our God?
You are the God who does wonders.
You are the God who does wonders.
You have declared your strength among the peoples.
You have declared your strength among the peoples.
Excellent. Wow. Well, today's miracle isn't the first miracle. We already talked about the memorial stones going across dry land of Jordan. But there's about 15 miracles God did in the exodus of God's people from the land of Egypt. It's a great study for you eager ones that would like to go through those books of Exodus, the end of Genesis, and see what God has done in miraculous ways where he provided for his people, he cared for them, and he protected them in some great ways. But this one's pretty special. The first city they came to as they crossed the Jordan, so they've come into the promised land. We saw the video, and the video was so great. It preaches the whole sermon in capped. It's so good. They come to this first city in the land of Canaan as they crossed Jericho, and the city was a big city. It was a strong city. In fact, it had double walls all the way around it, so they had a wall and a wall, and they were very high, and it protected the city against anybody that would try to infiltrate or come in against this city to destroy it, take over, steal things, whatever. It was a fortified city. Now, if you were going to go in against a city that had double walls And in Bible times, you were going to fight against them to kind of take over that city or to defeat that city. What are some of the weapons you would use? Anybody for hands? Ernie? Cannon. Cannons are good. Yeah, they're really good. Sorry? I can't hear. Oh, bow and arrow. Okay, that's good. You got to shoot over the wall, though, right? How about something else? Anybody? Yes, sir. James.
Battering rams.
Yeah.
If we're thinking modern times, I want to set a tank.
A tank. Well, yeah, modern times, you would set a tank. Ernie. Oh, man, you guys are all over that. Grappling hooks, tanks. Wow. Yes, there's all kinds of things that we would bring. Jonathan. Sorry? Spears. Yeah, spears are good. I like spears. Well, interesting enough, God gave special instructions what to bring. And it wasn't a battering ram, and it wasn't a cannon, and it wasn't a tank, and it wasn't a spear, and it wasn't a bow and arrow. It was funnels from Canadian Tire. These are supposed to be trumpets, and actually they are trumpets because I can make a lot of noise with these things. He asked the people to participate because this was his battle, and he wants them to participate with trumpets and shouts. Can everybody shout here? I'm not sure what we shouted. It doesn't say what they shouted, but let's just shout outside. 1, 2, 3. That's a beautiful shout. Wow. The neighbors are complaining. So, as my lovely assistant reads, we're going to come to a spot, and we're going to say stop. Now, I need 7 volunteers that didn't participate so far in the lessons today. I need somebody that wasn't part of this lesson. Oh, okay, just come on up, whoever wasn't part of the lesson. I'm hoping there's not too many. You were part of the lesson, weren't you? You weren't? Okay, beautiful, come on up. Okay, who wants to be a priest? Just put your hand up. 1 priest, 2 priests, 3 priests, 4 priests, 5 priests, 6 priests, 7 priests. I need you to be your sister's going to be it. Come on. Okay, now, the rest of you are going to be front guard and rear guard, okay? I want you to stand up right here, right in the front here. I want 2 front guards, you, my dear, and you. Come on over. You're going to stand right here, 1 and 2 beside each other. 7 priests in a row. You got to have a horn if you're a priest. And you guys are the 2 rear guards, okay? So this was the plan. You heard the plan already. The whole idea was, okay, you're going to line up the priests like this way. Line up this way, right here. I knew this was going to be difficult. Right here, my dear. Right here, handsome. Come on in here, dear. Line it up so you're going to go that way. So that's you're going to point towards the piano, okay? All the priests below the piano, over here. Come on, quickly. And rear guard, come on, right behind. Okay, you line up like this. Now I want you just to blow into that and make noise. See if you can do that. You got to blow into this end. Okay, go doo. No, go doo. No, go make the noise. Doo. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Wow, wow. Wow, okay. We got to hurry. Okay, this is the city wall. The first row, I'm going to stand right here. Whoa. This is the city wall from here to Mr. Fowler. He's going to have his hand up all the way over to Paula Goslow. Put your hand up. Back down here, that's the city wall. When I say you got to march around the city, you're going to go there, all the way back, and you come back to where you are. You're leading the pack. Big square. You guys are the priests, and you're taking up the rear guard. Make sure that they're marching forward. Attaboy. Now, when I say stop, listen carefully. When I say stop to Naomi, that's when you're going to march. She's going to read chapter 6 of Jericho. Go.
Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors, You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horns, you have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the towns will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said,
"That's what we just did. We called together all the priests and the, yeah.
Take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn."
Got your horns ready?
Then he gave orders to the people, "March around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord."
Okay, when I say stop, you start. Okay, start. And she's going to read exactly what you're doing. Go for a march. Lead the people. After Joshua
spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched.
Keep going. Keep blowing. You're not making enough noise. Keep going. Wow. We're only going to do this once. We're not going to march around seven times, just so everybody knows. Okay, you line up right back where you were. Beautiful. Okay. Lovely assistant.
And the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them.
Hang on, I forgot. And you're not supposed to say anything after you blow the horns. You're not supposed to shout. You're not supposed to even talk to your friends until Joshua says shout. So you go back and you're really like a mouse. Go ahead.
Follow behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns.
Yeah, we're not gonna do the second loop because we're gonna be here till tomorrow. Go ahead.
Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times.
Just go once, though. Now, listen carefully. As you go around, Naomi's going to give us directions on when we're all going to shout. Well, she keep blowing the horns, guys.
The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout!"
Shout! Whoa! Beautiful, beautiful.
"For the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything on it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or
you
yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, "Keep your promise, go to the prostitute's house and bring her out, along with all her family." The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her mother, father, brothers, and all other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safer place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, and her relatives who were with her in the house. Because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At the time, Joshua invoked this curse. May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his first son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land.
Thank you very much. You did a great job. Thank you. Wow, what a chapter. Great story to lead up to, and a great story to experience. And we had a great experience. Thank you, all priests and front guard and rear guard. Thank you for all those that shouted. Two interest points. I have to move along because we're going to be a little bit behind today because there's so much we're packing into this family service. But there's two things that I think come out of this chapter and that we need to look at and apply to our own life because it's very relevant. Number one is faith in God's power and presence, number one. And secondly, faith in God's provision, number two. So get God's power and presence. Back in Joshua chapter 1, and the children have studied this, but if you go back and read this, it's a great book to read. Go back in Joshua chapter 1. God promised Joshua that he would be everything that he was with Moses. In fact, everything that he was that Moses did through God's power, Joshua will do as well. God's promised that. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 9, listen to this carefully. This is what God promises Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Then in chapter 9, listen to this carefully because this is so good for all of us, both kids and adults. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those are great verses for us to remember. That's why Joshua could go in against this city with just trumpets and shouts. Because of what God promised him, that he would be everything that he was with Moses. He wouldn't leave him. He wouldn't leave him on his own. He would be his strength. And you read, interesting that Naomi read this in verse 2. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho. This is God's promise. So Joshua stepped out with the children of Israel in full confidence because God said that he was going to give them this city. There was no question to the validity or the strength of that statement because it came from God who can be trusted. You know, I'm not sure what we do in our life. Maybe what you're doing this week. Maybe you're not taking over a walled city. Maybe you're not rushing in a military action. But this is something when I was a kid, I used to get afraid of all kinds of things. I still am sometimes. And I think that understanding that God is with us and we can pray and commit our time to God. Children, listen carefully. Adults, listen carefully. Psalm chapter 56, verse 34, 3 and 4 says this. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, God. In God whose word I praise. In God I trust for I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We learn that verse in a different way from Numbers. What can anybody do to you when you have God on our side? Another great verse, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. It doesn't matter what you're doing this week or next week. It doesn't matter when you're afraid, when you're alone, when you're by yourself, when you have challenges. You can trust that God has promised not to leave you. We have that in the New Testament in Hebrews as well. I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. I'll be everything that you need of me because you put your trust in me. That's what faith in God's power and God's presence in our life is all about. We know that Joshua and the children of Israel trusted in that, as they went into this land with trumpets. Next, faith in God's provision. Chapter 2, and the story was told in our video. Joshua wanted to check out the land, sends two spies in. The spies go in. The king of Jericho hears that they're hanging around. He sends a detail out to find them, deploy a group out to find them. You go to Rahab's house. Rahab hides them in the roof, and they're able to help them escape. And before they left, he said, listen, will you remember me? I trust in God. In fact, I know of your power. I've heard about all the things that you've done. I heard about the Red Sea. I mean, this is before social media. This is before all the things. The word went out across the land by foot or by horse. I'm not sure. But everybody knew what God had done with his people. They heard about the greatness of God. And Rahab says, I believe in this God. I trust him. And I want you to remember me when you come back in, because I know you're going to take the city because I know you're God. And so she puts her faith in, and when they come back, so she helps the spies escape. And so after the big march and after the big shout, and as the city fell down and the children of Israel could go in and take over the city, that one house, because it was on the wall where she lived, didn't fall down. I mean, it was there. And guess what it had hanging in the window? Everybody remember from the story? A what? Sorry? A red rope, yeah. A red rope was kind of the signal that, hey, that's the house that we have to protect. The people in it are the people we need to protect. We know that they're not of the children of Israel, but we're going to bring them into our family because of the signal of that red rope. What's that red rope speak to us of? You remember something else that was red? 40-some years before? Side of the doors? Remember the Passover? Remember the blood that was put on the Passover, on the doorpost at the time of Passover, when God sent the avenging angel through the land of Egypt, and those that had the blood on the side posts were saved from that angel of death? And that speaks to us over God's provision today, something else that's red and something else that we talk about a lot here. And it's just like that doorpost stuff, but it's from a different person. It's the blood of Jesus, and it's red. And it's that line of demarcation that says, that particular house belongs to me because they had faith in me. And that red line that comes from Jesus' blood, he suffered and died on a cross so he could put away sin. He came into this world, God in human form, to die on a cross that he might die for our sins, that he might take our punishment. And because of that mark, that red mark, we claim that red mark by faith just like Rahab did. Did she think hanging that red rope was going to work? She had faith. She had faith that God was going to provide for her. And when you look at Jesus and we say, yes, we have faith that God's provision of Jesus Christ on the cross is enough for me to be saved and have salvation. A long time ago in the book of Acts, there was a man and he was in distress. He was having problems, and he got down on his knees before the Apostle Paul. He says, what do I have to do to be saved? And this was the response back. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's all you have to do. You have to trust that what Jesus has done is a sacrifice for my sin because of my sin. That's God's mark of salvation, and if we trust and obey, if we have faith in what God has given, then we will have the provision that God has provided, just as Rahab that day. Quick review. Got to go. Joshua and the children of Israel had faith in God's power and presence. They went in to fight a double-walled city with bugles and shouts, but they knew who was behind and in front of them. It was God. Rahab has faith in God's power and provision. She knew that the children of Israel would take the city. And she knew that God would provide because she trusted in him. And we can trust the Lord in every part of our life. Whatever's coming up this week, next week, and in the future, we can trust God because three words he has, starts with P. Power. He's got presence. And he's got provision. Three sweet peas. You can't remember. Think about the peas in your plate. God's power, his presence, and his provision is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.